Among those pushing to allow cannabis sales is Black Lives Matter Bloomington Normal. The group sees it as a social justice issue, a way to right the wrongs of the war on drugs. Olivia Butts from Black Lives Matter says they view it as a form of reparations. Their group lobbied the Planning Commission not only to allow sales, but to make sure any cannabis businesses were located on bus routes where people without cars can reach them. Butts speaks to WGLT student reporter Tiffany Jackson, starting with her reaction to the state's new map showing the hardest hit parts of the state from the war on drugs include most of West and South Bloomington.
I think it really does represent where people have been hit the most when you think about cannabis and cannabis possession related offenses. I think what we're most concerned about is considering how can we get people who have been disproportionately affected some advantages as cannabis becomes legal in 2020. There's a lot of reparations that are built into this law. It's been said that it's one of the most progressive laws in the U.S. So what we're hoping is that we can see Bloomington City Council goes ahead with allowing cannabis sales here in Bloomington, and then we get to see someone from the black or brown community, someone who has been affected by the war on drugs or the war on marijuana, opening a business here. We'd like to see some entrepreneurship, a new business opened by someone from the minority community here in Bloomington.
So if Bloomington gets a dispensary, where do you think it should go?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I don't know that I have a personal opinion on where it should go, but like I said, we would like these dispensaries to be accessible to all people, people who don't have cars. I would love to see it along a bus route in Bloomington or Normal, especially if we talk about people from disproportionately affected areas. People are going to need a way to get to work, right? So thinking about some accessibility.
What are you worried about them doing? Like, what does getting it wrong look like?
We're really just hoping that the Planning Commission moves forward to kind of put the ball back into the City Council's court on moving forward with allowing people to open businesses here and start to apply for those applications. So we know that people who have been disproportionately affected by this, by overcriminalization of marijuana in the past, have an advantage to their applications for applying for a business license from the state. And we would really like to see minority folks in this community apply for those applications and get the chance to open a business, to turn things around here and kind of make up for some of that over-policing, over-criminalization that has happened in the past.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Tiffany Jackson. I'm in the studio with Olivia Butts from the Black Lives Matter organization. The Black Lives Matter group has framed the cannabis policymaking process as a struggle for reparations. What do you mean by that?
Sure. So black people in Illinois make up 15% of the population, but make up 60% of cannabis arrests. That in itself is a staggering number. We think about the war on drugs. We think about the war on marijuana. That has had extreme effects on mostly black and brown people, their families. We think about over-policing, over-sentencing, over-incarceration. There are people still sitting in jail from low-level possession crimes from years and years ago. So we're looking at this bill as a way to create something, make up for a little bit of what has happened in the past.
Reparations can be a loaded, misunderstood word. How are you using it here, and how might your reference here be different from our listeners' past perceptions of reparations?
I think when we consider reparations, we're trying to make up for things that have happened in the past. And in this particular case, we look back, you know, 40, almost 50 years ago when the war on drugs was first announced, and that has had extreme disproportionate effects on African-American communities, right? The war on drugs has been extremely unsuccessful, has cost us so much money, little to no effect on the supply and demand of drugs, but has really had, you know, like I've said, extreme negative effects on black and brown communities, their families, everything.
What about for those who are currently incarcerated or in jail for drug offenses? How do you think that the new state law will impact them?
The state law is going to seek to try to address some of that damage, right? 800,000 people's will get their records expunged. They will also be looking to wipe arrests for records of people who were possessing less than 1 ounce of marijuana, and I think that goes back to 2013. So that's really good when we consider how much of a damaging effect people's records can have on them getting housing, getting jobs. It's something that can stay with you forever, and for something as small as, you know, possessing marijuana, less than 1 ounce, I don't believe that that's something that should stick with you. So we're really happy to see those expungement pieces built into this law.
You served on the Cannabis Task Force that spent about a month gathering information and advising the City Council on a bunch of issues related to the legalization. What was that experience like?
That experience was really interesting. We had a tight timeline to turn around some information, but I was able to do a lot of research and have really good conversations with people. I think the task force was a very diverse group. Linda Foster from the NAACP, we had a couple people from the Bloomington Police Department, we had someone who was an addiction specialist. So having all those viewpoints in one room had some really great conversation. And then we did end up recommending that the Bloomington City Council does go ahead and allow cannabis sales in Bloomington. And while that was not a unanimous vote in the end, I think overall, you know, we had really healthy discussions about it.
Black Lives Matter has referred to some members of the Bloomington City Council as obstructionists on cannabis issues. What do you mean by that?
Tough question. So I think there's just some people on the Bloomington City Council whose goal is to kind of shut down this whole process on cannabis. And like we said, we're here to talk about reparations. It'd be hard to watch the Bloomington City Council oppose something that would give Black and brown folks a chance to become entrepreneurs, to open a business in Bloomington. I think that from Black Lives Matter Bloomington Normal's perspective, that's what we're talking about, right? We're talking about reparations and allowing this bill that is coming down from the state to be used in full effect. You know, there's opportunities for folks who have been affected in the past to get low interest loans from the state, to get startup grants, to get some expertise, to get help on their business plan. Our community should embrace that with open arms, right? We should be using that aid from the state, and to turn it down in a way where minority communities get the upper hand, it would be hard to see that happen.
Say the city council says no to the proposal of Black Lives Matter. What could that mean for the minority community and like its outlook on equality and being heard on issues like this?
Yeah, and I think that that's a tough question. I think, I mean, when you see something as progressive as this bill come down from the state, and then a municipality has the option to opt out of sales at the, you know, local level, we have to look at who is losing out on opportunity, right? And I can guarantee you it's not the people who sit on the city council. So people who are losing out on an opportunity to get low interest loans, to get grants, to get, you know, those startup grants from the state. Like, so when you apply for an application from the state, you get an automatic advantage if you are a social equity applicant. So if you've been affected in the past, if you live in a disproportionately affected area, you get an advantage. I think it's about 20% when you look, they scale you on like a point scale, and you get 20% of points right away if you're a social equity applicant. So that in itself gives people who've been affected in the past a huge leg up on this application. So I really just think if the Bloomington City Council does end up opting out, it's going to hurt the minority community the most.
What is the line between obstructionist and someone who just thinks permitting drug use and drug sales is a bad thing?
This might be more of my opinion. I think that Bloomington City Council members are allowed to vote however they'd like. They vote to reflect their ward, hopefully. But I think that if a statewide bill says that cannabis is legal, cannabis is going to be legal, whether it's sold in Bloomington or Normal or Springfield or Peoria or Decatur, right? So it's not necessarily like that's going to stop drugs from coming into the community. We've heard from a variety of different people. We already have a medical dispensary here, right? Cannabis is here legal and illegally and will be whether it's sold in Bloomington or not. I'm not sure that what you think about marijuana should be up for debate, because the state has already decided that it's going to be legal.
How big of a deal could cannabis businesses be here in Bloomington? If the city allows this, how much of an economic impact do you think this could have long term?
I'm not a professional on economic impact, but other states and other cities have seen excellent revenues back from taxes from cannabis. And we did a lot of research on this when we were on the cannabis task force, right? Talking about different cities, different states, and what they've used that money for. They've used it for addiction recovery centers. They've used it to fund schools, to fund after school programs, to give more education on the pros and cons of cannabis itself. There is so many different things that you could do with that tax revenue if Bloomington does decide to allow cannabis sales here.
What's next? What sort of lobbying effort will Black Lives Matter undertake between now and the Bloomington City Council vote in the next several weeks?
I think we will continually ask people to show up and make their voices heard. That's usually one of our goals, right, is to just have people come and share their opinion. We're not necessarily telling people what they should say, but we want them to come and we want them to make sure. We want the Planning Commission, for example, to hear the community and understand the role that they have in this fight.
That's Olivia Butts from the leadership team at Black Lives Matter Bloomington Normal, speaking with WGLT student reporter Tiffany Jackson. The Bloomington Planning Commission voted to advance cannabis sales and a cannabis cafe proposal to the City Council last night.